The title is clunky, but the wine talk is smooth. You're listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Back from the trip from Tasmania, Sydney, and South Island, New Zealand. I am here at the centrally located Taroni. It's on Young and Price. Just a fantastic Italian restaurant. The list is incredible. The wine list, maybe even better than the food list. It's a good debate. Joining me now, and I'm going to apologize ahead of time because I am part Italian. My father's family is from Alba, and I mangle the Italian language as much as I do every other. No prejudice. Any language, I will screw it up. Giovanni Silvestri from Gambero, who represents Gambero Rosso, and of course, a big event coming up, and the massive, giant 39th edition of the Vini d'Italia Guide. Giovanni, thank you so much for being on the pod, and again, apologies for all my screw-ups.
Thank you, Matt. It's been a pleasure being invited to share with you and your audience and listeners some interesting stories about Italian wines. I'll be happy to respond to your questions and to, you know, just have a conversation on, you know, what we do at Gambero Rosso, the media company that specializes in wine and food of Italy.
And isn't it the largest media company specializing in Italian food and Italian wine?
It is. It is the most, let's say, authoritative media company on wine and food. We're going to celebrate 40 years next year of activities, and I've been dealing with Canada operations since 2010.
Okay.
So we can be happy to be, you know, well acquainted in Canada after the first, let's say, experiences in the United States, where the events of Gambero Rosso have been hosted for 40 years since the beginning of the company activity.
Well, there's a bunch of things I want to get into. I want to get into the company in terms of the book, The Guide to All Things Italian Wine. It's like your 39th edition of it, which is hard because there are more Italian grapes, and there are more grapes in Italy than in any other country, and it's not even close, as you know. I want to talk about the award show that is coming up at the end of April here in Toronto, and I want to talk about also about the wine that you rep as well, that we're trying a sip of from the Lazio region. Did I get that right? Is that where
this
wine's from?
Lazio, which is a not well-known region in general because it's the region of Rome. So when you think about Italy, you think of Rome as a capital city, and you don't even know that Rome is part of a region called Lazio. And the wines of this region probably are the least well-known in the world now, even if they used to be the first to make wine in the ancient Roman times. And we'll talk about this maybe a little later. Now, about Gambero Rosso.
Let's start with the book, the 39th edition of it, which is such a handy guide because it can be hard for people. People can get intimidated by Italian wine. And also what I appreciate is that this book will help people realize there's more than just Sangiovese, Chianti, Nebbiolo, Barolo, Barbaresco, Pinot Grigio from the north. Like this book's helps to guide people to just everything that's out there.
The biodiversity of Italian wine and food is incredible, is unique. We just have been recognized by UNESCO as a World Heritage for food culture. And that's something that really can explain the value of the soil and the terroir of Italy. So the book of Gambero Rosso basically is more or less 1,000 pages of wine description of how big is this biodiversity of Italy. The commission that are located in all the regions of Italy are tasting more than 20,000 wine every year. And out of the 20,000, they narrow to the final tasting that happens every year in the month of August, where they select the best wines of Italy of the vintage of the year.
That is crazy. How many people take part in this? So you said you try around 20,000 wines. How many does it get reduced to when it comes to the final awards?
Well, it's about 500.
Yeah.
At the end, 500 that are rated with the Tre Bicchieri, which is the, let's say, the 95 and up rating to be compatible with, let's say, the imperial system.
Right.
We raid Bicchieri because Gambero Rosso has always been very well appreciated by producers, by people that work in the food and wine industry from scratch to the top, because we try to maintain and keep the authenticity of what we represent. So we rate restaurants, we go around and do a book of restaurants, we rate the best ice cream shop, ice cream maker actually, not shop, mm-hmm. and of course we rate wine. We go around and there's a few hundred critics collaborating with Gambero Rosso every year to taste all these wines.
That's going to be so much work because, as mentioned before, when I was studying, when I was doing my WSET and getting the diploma, there's nothing harder than Italy. And the joke is, by the time this podcast is done, some small region in southern Italy will discover a new grape that will officially be recognized around the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why the way that the three senior editors of the guide, because the jury of the awards that are assigned every year, a commission, so that we have a proper, let's say, vision of what is really on more than one palate tasting.
Of course.
So the critics try to taste and try to select and narrow this incredible amount of wines to describe what are the peculiarity of the year. And every year, these 500 wines are different. There are some wine producers that are constantly making wines at the top level, so there's some repeat winners of the awards. But every year there's some new kids on the block. There's some changes depending on the climate, because that's how the wines are made of. If for example this year, now we're gonna have a problem in a week because the weather in Italy is about to change dramatically. There's gonna be a strong cold stream coming down across Italy. There's going to be ice, even in central Italy, in the beginning of April. And that could be a damage to a lot of vineyards.
That could hurt the yields. Yeah. You could get a lot of them,
wiped out. There's a fear that the year would be possibly damaged in some regions.
Now, you won't be able to fully answer this question because it's not like you're in the judge's room. From what you've learned, because you've worked with these guys for a long time, what are the main things that these judges that work with Gambero Rosso, what are they looking for in terms of what they're going to give the highest marks for? Which ones are going to get to the final 500? Because you could just find the 500 most expensive wines, and here's Sassicaia, and here's Gaia, and here's this and that.
Well,
but what are they looking for?
I'm not a wine expert,
yeah.
So I can't. Maybe you can help me on that, because what they look for every year is the quality of the wine that they taste. And quality means either the vinification process has been right, that the grape's development was taken in the right way, that the acidity, the level of sugar is mm-hmm. balanced, balance, quality of the production, originality of the development of the grapes, because one grape can be producing a wine in one year, and then the next year could be slightly different, can be better or worse. So that's how the judgment will be considering all these aspects.
Because I'm always interested in that sometimes I might give a higher score to, say, a simple Chianti. But I'm like, this, even just a DOC $20 Chianti, if it's drinking really well, then maybe I'm giving it a higher score because of the value versus a $200 single vineyard Barolo that's really good, but maybe isn't worth it. And I always wonder about, there's no right answer, but I always wonder about that, about judging, about looking at what's the quality of the wine to the value, to the price of what it is.
But this is exactly the good point of what you're saying, is that the meaning of the book, the Italian Wines book, and the meaning of the Tre Bicchieri Awards is that there's so much in Italy that is not necessarily well known. By tasting some of the Tre Bicchieri that are not well known, you can understand that there's a value on the vintage that we taste of wines of Lombardy, for example, mm-hmm. that maybe the Valtellinese region, nobody maybe were thinking about super extra good wines of that region, or as we talk about Lazio, Rome. Rome has always been taken as a Frascati, you know, table wine for every day. Nobody really cares about the quality. They just drink it just to have fun. But now Roma and Lazio are developing incredibly high-quality wines that were not well-known, that are not even well-known now, not even in Italy.
I would imagine, and this is going to sound like a generalization, that a lot of the wines in Lazio would be great value because I imagine they're not as expensive because the land where the grapes are grown, they're not as expensive. Like a couple hectares in Lazio would be cheaper than a couple hectares in, say, Barbaresco.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a fact. The less known region have still to be, say, valued in terms of property value mm-hmm. and the wines value that are made in those regions. So, yes, the Tre Bicchieri is another value. The Tre Bicchieri is that you don't necessarily have a Tre Bicchieri awarded wine as a super expensive wine, but okay. Yes, we know that Sassicaia, the big Barolo producer, the big Barolo wines, or the, you know, the sparkling of Trento d'Oco, Franciacorta, may be valued, you know, high in price, but they are comparable to many others that may have a similar level of quality and taste, if you may.
Well, one area that I've been getting into is like is Abruzzo. And I think advice I give to people, they want to try good wine, but they don't have much of a budget for it, is to explore, especially some parts of southeast Italy that doesn't get the attention or the spotlight. They don't have a DOCG, you know, assignment to their area, but they're making killer wine, especially with the younger winemakers.
Yeah, it's true. Even though you can already see there are some changes in Abruzzo as well as in Sicily, because those are regions that have come up.
Sicily's getting so much more expensive.
But
now,
even the more, you know, if you want to taste a really high end Montepulciano,
yeah,
you may pay it like a Brunello di Montalcino.
I mean, I'm happy for the area and for the winemakers. I want everyone to be successful, but I'm also going to be a little bit selfish. Where do people get the book? Before we move on to the awards.
On Amazon. Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, the distribution, actually it's even easier to get the book because this is a heavy duty book. You have to carry it around if you go to a bookshop. But yeah, it's the distribution is on Amazon. They can find it on Amazon. The English version is published every year between January and February, so now it's available. The annual edition is actually presented and launched in October when the vintages and the harvest are done and the new wines are presented. Mm-hmm. We have a big event in Rome where you're welcome to come one day. It's the second weekend of October every year in Rome. We present all the 500 and more or 500 and less, depending on the year, wines awarded with the Tre Bicchieri. The great thing is that we also bring these Tre Bicchieri awards around the world. We've been coming to Canada for many years with, of course, a selection. They can't afford all the 500 wineries to travel around the world. So they decide every year which markets are they going to explore or promote or have better business opportunities. So
right,
more or less in Canada, we bring between 45 and 55 wineries every year, which is a pretty good number.
Yeah, and that's 45, 55 of the top 500.
Of the top 500, yeah.
Right.
And they, most of the time, they represent most of the regions of production of Italy, which gives this event a really good, let's say, value in terms of opportunity to taste in one afternoon. You can taste wines at a hot level, top level of Italy in a good number in one afternoon.
Giovanni, let's talk a little bit about you for a second. I'm wondering your journey with this company. Was it a love of wine? Was it a love of economics, business, or marketing? How did you get here?
I'm a marketing guy, and so I've always been actually a reader of Gambero Rosso, that is a magazine. It started as a magazine in the early 80s. It was actually a newspaper supplement of a very, let's say, radical newspaper of Italy. In the pages of Gambero Rosso section in the newspaper, slow food movement started.
Okay,
so
yeah.
Carlo Petrini was a writer in Gambero Rosso pages. So I've always I always use Gambero Rosso as a source of reference to travel around Italy, because the magazine was suggesting, you know, the best area, the best restaurants to eat with, the best wine in the region, but even the best, let's say, hospitality opportunities, agriturismo, or more, you know, casual.
Well, they're all connected. Wineries, restaurants. That is the hospitality industry, and that would lead to, you know, cool hotels or resorts or just a great place to watch a sunset.
Absolutely. So I used to follow Gambero Rosso for my own pleasure, and then in my professional development, I've always been in communication and events. Gambero Rosso was just starting to, let's say, to look at Canada as a very important wine market that in the last 20 years has grown constantly, becoming the number three markets in the world for Italian wines. So they were looking for a way to bring the events in Canada, so I helped them to get around. So, you know, I started to deal with the LCBO, start to think, of course, you know, you have to first approach the liquor boards to say, okay, what do you think about the Trebicchieri events in Canada? So they wanted to do it themselves. So we did the two events produced by the LCBO, in 2013 and 2015. And then, of course, because it was a lot of work to deal with, you know, 50, 55 wineries at one time for an event, and the event was not anymore for the LCBO a core business. They have to concentrate on the stores and the wine selection and the wine. So then we started to do it on our own. We always have a good, let's say, share of collaboration with the LCBO in terms of product, development and education. So we try to help product consultants to learn about Italian wines by doing seminars with them. Then we invite them at our events. So there's a good cross, communication between us.
I want to get to the awards, but one other question about you. How much more would you say you know about Italian wine today in late March 2026 versus the day you started with the company?
Yeah, I know much more. You know, after, you know, 15 years of dealing with organizing the wine event in Canada, of course, I taste all the wines when they come, and I keep trying to understand what's my best choice. And I have to say that my first wine that I drank was Amorellino di Scansano from Tuscany, and that was part of a vacation that I was having with my friends in my early 20s, and we stopped at a little town in Tuscany, and we just had a glass, and I said, "Wow, I love this wine!" And so since then, that still remains my first love, you know, in wine.
And by the way, Amorellino di Scansano, that's one that isn't as well known, but it's one that people should try.
Yeah, we all tend to call the other Tuscany, because Tuscany is Chianti, Brunello, the Sangiovese, but the Sangiovese grape also express like a very different wine in the southern part of the region with the Amorellino. So yeah, we love it, and it's interesting to see how every region can really find great and different expression of wine mix. That's how, again, going to Gambero Rosso, it's great to discover every year. You can think, hey, this year I want to try to see what Campania is doing or what Lazio is doing.
By the way, we just took a quick break to have some appetizers. Again, we are here at Tirone. And I keep saying we're going to get into the awards, because the award show is one of the big things I want to get into. You know what? No, we'll do the awards and then we'll get into the wine, because no, I'm going the other way. Let's get into the wine. Tell people a little bit about what we're drinking, about the winery that you represent from Lazio, because this is a grape I have never tried before until today. And I was joking about how Italy, there's 4,000 grapes and you'll never learn them all. Well, I'm now learning a new grape as we're sitting here. I really appreciate your point.
We have to thanks Gambero Rosso for the for the work that they do by selecting wines, and of course, you know, the regional commission of Lazio, they kept drinking wine from the region, and they finally found an incredible new, incredible, because it's crazy that in the late 2000 a new grape of Italy finally got to a well-known understanding and awareness. But Bellone, the name of the grape, is an ancient grape that was drank by the ancient Romans in the ancient times. So it's been there forever, basically, from before Christ's time. It has always been grown in the area of Rome, actually south of Rome. In the southern part of the region, there is a beautiful agricultural area called Agro Pontino. There used to be a marshland, a little bit like the French northern Bordeaux area, that actually has very similar landscape to this area of Rome. Vision of this family that owns Casale del Giglio, the name of the winery, they were always dealing with wine and oil. They were merchants in the past.
Right.
Antonio, the last generation of the family, decided to take the step of going into wine production by taking the land that his dad decided to purchase as an investment in this agricultural area. His dad didn't know whether this area could have been a good production area for wine. So Antonio decided to invest in an experimental project and for 15 years with Paolo Tiefenthaler, a young enologist that was just coming out at the age of 18 from the local agricultural school of Rome. They started to work on the land, and they implanted more than 67 different varietals, local, indigenous, from all over Italy, but also international grapes. So, believe it or not,
that's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. It's 15 years of work. They found the French grapes, believe it or not, but that's because I was starting to, you know, the conversation by connecting this area with the northern French area, because the French grapes of Petit Verdot, Petit Manseng, Viognier were performing really well, better than all the others, the other grapes. They even did the Bellone at the time, but probably because politically nobody was thinking that a grape from Rome could become what it has become now. And it took almost 20 years for this family to decide to work on the Bellone grape. So they did 10 years of vinification, and they started to bottle this Bellone wine that is representing a fantastic different white wine from all the others that you can drink in Italy. And that's another surprising aspect of the biodiversity of Italy, that you know you can discover in the 2000s that a white wine is so much different from all the other white wines of Italy.
It's a little bit heavier. There's a lot more body on the mid palate. I see on the description the word lush. I think that absolutely nails it. Some tropical fruit. I mean, obviously, you know, the acidity is there, but this is interesting.
And you know where it comes from, Matt? The fact is that the Bellone is a name that was given to this grape because of the beauty of the grape itself. The grape Bellone is a big, round, beautiful green grape, perfectly rounded. And Bellone means awesome, you know, it's beautiful. And that's why the ancient Romans, they saw these grapes and said, well, it's bella, Bellone, bellissima, you know?
It's a good name. It's going well with, you know, the appetizers, you know, have some salami, have some cheese, and it pairs well.
It's absolutely versatile to be paired with, you know, dishes that you may think, okay, this is we need a red wine with this dish. But of course, you know, the best way to pair Bellone is with the seafood, with some seafood dishes of Italy that are a little stronger in taste, maybe not the typical branzino with a little bit of olive oil. Yeah, it can work well, but it doesn't give you the value of pairing with something that is more stronger. You know, it's like a minestrone di pesce, no? It's like a seafood mixed, a big pot of seafood that creates that sauce with maybe a little bit of tomatoes, some onion and garlic that creates that flavors that could be associated with the strong complexity of this wine.
Yeah, it's bigger. It's oftentimes when I think of Italian white wine, I don't think of more full bodied, you know, beyond like Planta Chardonnay from Sicily. And I mean, there are plenty of examples, but this one's certainly pretty full bodied. All right. Let's get to one of the main reasons why I wanted to chat with you today. Liberty Grand Entertainment Complex, April 29th. There is a massive award show going on involving you, your company, the book.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you could just spell it out for everyone.
Yeah, it's again, I was mentioning before that we, you know, Gambero Rosso travels around the world with the wineries.
You do these crazy worldwide world tours.
It's called the World Tour. It starts in October after the presentation of the annual awards in Rome. The wineries are traveling with the Gambero Rosso critics. They start in Asia, Japan, and China in October. Then they go in other parts of Asia in November. Then there's a stop, a typical stop between December and January for the holidays. And then they enter into the biggest, let's say, part of the tour that's here in the United States. That's the biggest market for Italian wines. So New York, Chicago, San Francisco, Los Angeles. Then it's back to Europe for the European trade shows.
And there's a stop off in Nigeria, I believe.
Yeah, Nigeria was one of the last added market. And apparently Nigeria is a big country. There's a huge demand of wines. They never experience, the wine tasting the way that they're doing now. So, yeah, Nigeria is one of the last country. And then we come to Canada. We've been coming to Canada since 2010. Again, the season is late spring because of the annual calendar of our programming of Gambero Rosso. So we'll be in Toronto on the 29th of April. The Tre Bicchieri event is basically a beautiful opportunity to be exposed to this selection of wines. This year, we are very happy to announce that there's going to be also a big fundraising event, basically extended from the trade portion of the afternoon. We are going to help support the Humber River Hospital Foundation with a big charity extension of the event. So the Tre Bicchieri wine event will be offered to supporter of the Humber River Hospital Foundation with a so-called Best of Italy great evenings with wine, great food, a fantastic showcase of the best Italian restaurants and chefs in Toronto will be presenting some food. There's going to be music, an Amaro bar, an all-Italian fest that's going to be open to everybody and not only to the traders that we always invite to the part that it's a business-related, let's say, component of the event.
I imagine this event, much like, the 39th edition of your book, your wine guide, that an event like this is also would be a great opportunity for people that want to learn more about Italian wines to try Italian wines. I don't know if this specific one is going to be there.
This is a Tre Bicchieri wine. Okay, so there will be the Bellone there.
Bellone will be there. But also just for people that want to branch out beyond Chianti Classico to learn about grapes from all over Italy, because, again, it is the hardest. It is the hardest country to, because there are just so many different expressions.
Yeah, I can anticipate you. Yesterday I received the final list of participating wines. So we have, from the classics, we have 3 Amarone, 3 Chianti, 2 Brunellos, but we also have Etna wines from Sicily. We have Abruzzo. We have a fantastic wine from Umbria, one of Montefalco Sagrantino, one of the best Tre Bicchieri ever. The season of Sagrantino last year was fantastic. We're going to have 2 wines of Lazio, of Rome, and many others that's going to be presenting. There's going to be Lombardy featuring, the consortium of Lombardy will be, for the first time in Canada, they will be featuring a lot of wines from Lombardy, another region that is not well known except for Franciacorta, the beautiful sparkling champagne-like, forgive me, French friends, but we will never be comparable with champagne, but the way to introduce the sparkling Italian wines is that there's some sparkling on top of the Prosecco that everybody loves, but the Franciacorta and the Trento DOC are wines that are really hitting, the level of almost a champagne-like.
I know you can't say it. You've got to be more diplomatic, and there'll always be wars between Italy and France when it comes to wine and all that. But I will tell people listening, if you see Franciacorta, That basically is the same exacting standards that Champagne has with sparkling. Yeah. It's just not in that geographical region. It's usually
different grapes.
Different grapes. It's usually going to be a little bit less expensive, but it's not cheap because it can't be because it's so well made.
It's also limited quantity, you know, because the Franciacorta means short France. It's a region just between Milan and Verona. Mm-hmm. A fantastic. Not very well-known area even for tourism, but it's on the Garda Lake, and it's got a limited production. So that's why, you know, it goes into a more high-end type of wine.
Is there an awards for the night on the 29th as well, or is there anything going on there beyond everything else you've already mentioned?
Yeah. I don't want to forget that we go back to the Gambero Rosso roots that started with... The Restaurant Guide of Italy. We have been publishing for 4 years, The Restaurant Guide of Italy, and we decided about 10 years ago that it was time to look at the Italian restaurants abroad. You know, we've been traveling to present wines all over the world. We meet at our wine events a lot of great restaurant owners and chefs and people that dedicated all of their life to represent Italy abroad. And so we decided to launch a Top Italian Restaurant Awards. We basically taste restaurants in every city where we host a wine tasting, and we award the best Italian restaurants in every city. So it will be very interesting to see that this year, all the restaurants that we awarded last year, maybe will be still, you know, doing their job of doing fantastic wines. We have three level of ratings, the three forks, that are comparable to the Michelin star, but
Michelin
has a totally different criteria of evaluation. So three forks for the best restaurants, which means the food that is in the dish is really at the top level. Then we have the three slices for the best pizza in town, and then the three bottles for the best wine list. And actually, one of the three bottles since we started these awards a few years ago is the restaurant where we are today.
Oh, so for people that love Italian wine and want to explore it, the best way to explore it is to go to good Italian restaurants that have good wine lists. And yeah, Taroni here does. It's a beautiful list.
They've always invested in choosing and picking wines that are not so very well known in terms of labels, but they are high in quality. They managed to be very good in terms of price point. So, it's really the best wine list in town.
Yeah, it's a great point. A great Italian wine list shouldn't be 100 wines from Barolo. It should be 15 from Barolo and some Langhi de Nebbiolo and Barbaresco and then Campagna and then Pinot from up in Friuli and just all over. That's what makes for a great Italian list.
Yeah, we always look at what is the selection that is in the stores at the LCBO. We look forward to see the continuous development of the selection of wines there. It's improving. There's more selection of wines that are not so well known. It's not an easy job to do the distribution of wines in Canada the way that the liquor boards are. But, you know, we have to say that we can see that the quality of the wines in the stores are constantly growing, even in terms of variety of wines.
The tariffs with the United States, the banning of all American wine here in Ontario, has economic impact for other countries. And I'm wondering, has it helped? Has it led to an uptick in more Italian wine? Has it led to maybe more people buying more high-end Brunello, Barolo, Chiantis for people that live in Toronto with money and can't spend $150 on a Napa cab, so maybe they're looking for other alternatives?
For sure, this political decision to freeze, you know, all the American wines in Canada has left the empty shelves on the store. So, of course, the stores are actually increasing the variety of wine. So it's actually we have seen a growth in selection of Italian wines in the stores. But not only that, it's the restaurants that are showcasing, you know, more and more different wines of Italy. So there's a constant search of additional wines that can pair well with the food. And not to mention that, you know, the liberalization of wine sales, private wine sales,
yeah,
hopefully will be continuing, will be offering to to Canadians the opportunity, and to Torontonians the opportunity to get access to more wines of Italy.
Maybe tough question to answer, Giovanni, but how different is the Toronto market today versus when you started with Gambero in terms of tastes, the wines that are purchased the most certain regions? Have things changed at all?
The biggest evolution is in the restaurant's quality of Italian dishes. It looks like it's another world. We are very, very close to Italy when we go into the best Italian restaurants in Toronto, and that increase and the raise of quality in the food is also matching the raising quality of wine selection in restaurants. That's also creating the demand in the stores, because people go out for dinner or for lunch. They find the great wines in the restaurants. Then they go to the LCBO and they say, well, where are these wines here? And they keep asking, and they keep working in increasing their selection of wines.
Giovanni, as we end this, is there anything else people need to know? By the way, again, I am a big fan of this Bellone.
Okay, the Bellone is just been released last weekend at the LCBO for the first time. So you can find it in the stores. There's an upgraded version of Bellone called Anzium in selected restaurant. We have run a kind of a interesting Roman week, celebrating the week of Roman cuisine in Toronto, selecting a few restaurants that are actually featuring Roman dishes, pairing with the upgraded Bellone, and the next event of Gambero Rosso will be probably the biggest event we've ever had in Canada in terms of varietal of wines. There's going to be three master classes: Abruzzo, Lombardy for the first time, beautiful vertical tasting of Guido Cesari, going back to the Amarone Reserva of the family. So, a lot of celebrate on Italian wines.
Again, the date, Wednesday, April 29th, 1 to 5 p.m., Liberty Grand Entertainment. For all those events, I'm going to be coming to as many of them as I can.
And don't forget to look for the Humber River Hospital tickets to support this beautiful cause, to help one of the most important hospitals in Canada that will be offering one of the most unique Italian experiences in the city.
So is this going to be like a charity auction kind of thing? So.
Well, yeah, it's a charity. You have to buy a ticket to be part of the evening event and enjoy a lot of beautiful food, a fantastic selection of wines.
It's well worth the ticket price.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, God, yeah, I've seen it. I've seen some of the info. I can't wait. I'm going to be there. Any other websites or anything else that people need to know? Either the winery, Gambero, the book, the event?
Well, the website is gamberorossointernational.com, bestofitaly.ca to access to the fundraising for the Humber River Hospital Foundation. And at the LCBO, you look for Italian wines.
Absolutely. Hey, Giovanni, really, really appreciate you doing this. I love the book. I think it's so important for people that want to learn more, because Italy can be intimidating. That book there makes it far less intimidating. I can't wait for the event at the end of April. Thank you so much. Cheers.
Thank you, and enjoy. Salute.
Salute. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Go get this Bologna. But again, you can find me on Apple, iTunes, and wherever, Spotify. I'm all over Spotify, wherever quality podcasts are sold.
Thanks for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Happy hunting.